Marvelous, I know you brought the keg to the barbecue this past weekend as we celebrated Memorial Day, but we weren't celebrating the Chicago Cubs getting swept by Cincinnati. And they respond by taking 2 of 3 from the Tampa Bay Rays, the best team in baseball, now to head to the West Coast. We are here to break it all down here on the Sports Cubicle. It's the Marvelous One, Dan Marver. It's Devin Tingle. It's Paul Shavari. I'm Mike Mercado. And Marver, this is something that I've wanted to talk to you for about a few weeks. You know, there's been some crazy sports stories going on. And one of the things that I think you and I have kind of just put on the back burner just to see how it'll play out is the Chicago Cubs season. But here we are heading into this weekend, a 10-game West Coast trip. They won't be at Wrigley for a while. It wasn't a great homestand. It wasn't a great May. As nice as April was, May was as disappointing. You look at June. What are you seeing? What are you anticipating? What do you want to see for this Cubs team in this crucial month? Because when we get to July, all things are on the table, depending on what your record is. So what do you want to see for these next 30 days in June?
Well, you know, it's funny. Right now, the Cubs are 24-31. They're 4.5 games out of first.
That's crazy.
As I predicted, essentially, that the National League Central and the National League American League Central would have the poorest champion, and you may have a champion in either division that has a poorer record than the fifth place team in the American League East. But don't get me started. The Cubs have a very challenging road trip, 4 in San Diego, 3 in Anaheim, and 3 in San Francisco. I was afraid that they would stumble against the Rays, and they'd end up with whatever, do the math, about a 17-game losing streak. But the Padres are not playing extremely great baseball either, and they have their problems, although, you know, we'll get to see some of our old friends over there, like Yu Darvish. And the Padres are sitting right now at 26-30, so, you know, they're sort of middling. And the Giants, you know, are 28-28, so nothing too exciting there. So I think they might do a little better than I thought on this particular road trip. The pitching, you know, obviously Stroman, the one hitter, was unbelievable. And so he's to be relied upon. Hendricks is slowly coming back. And Steele has been the man of steel until he couldn't go more than 3 innings the other day. So the starting pitching has been really outstanding for a good portion of the year. Taillon's going to come back, and I don't know, you know, what he'll be able to do with that. But, you know, if Hendricks is anywhere, is like 60% of old Hendricks, that will be good enough for me on this trip. So it'll be challenging because they play every single day, essentially. They play Monday and then they go in San Diego, and then Tuesday they're in Anaheim, you know, and then Friday they're in San Francisco. So it's going to be a whirlwind trip, but I guess we shouldn't feel too bad because the Padres' last game was in Miami. So we'll see what happens, but they need to bring their hitting shoes with. The spark provided by Horner was absent for a while, and you know, so that it looks like he's coming around a little bit. So but they've had to really sort of fit in some other pieces too, because they've had a few injuries in there, you know. So you know, if they can start getting some runs and you know, then the offense comes around, I think they might have if they can do a 500 road trip, which will be impossible in my opinion, you know, they could go 5-5. That would be outstanding. But I think that would be, you know, a little bit more than we can expect, but we'll see what happens, because like I say, these other teams, you know, are sort of middle of the road too. And I look up the Angels, 30-27. So, you know, other than Mr. Otani, you know, and Trout, you know, they're quite a challenging team as well. So I expect the Cubs to come out of this. I mean, they're still, like I say, tied for the basement, 4.5 games out of first in this, you know, in this standings, which is a joke to me with interleague play. But we'll see what happens on this trip. 5-5 is my goal.
So there's a lot I want to break down, Marvelous. We bring up Justin Steele as of this recording, as we are having this conversation. We don't have any news yet on the MRI. It was his forearm. They are going to check out his elbow. He has had Tommy John surgery already before. I don't know if it's going to go to that extreme. I could have egg in my face in any moment now, but I do feel like there would be more of a whisper. There'd be more concern, and I don't know if that's what we're getting right now, but we'll have to keep an eye on that, because he had a bad game, his last start, and then he only went 3 innings. So there might be something to this injury. Maybe it's fatigue. Maybe he's been going so hard. He had a great start to the season. So it's something we're going to have to keep our eye on. And I think this team, When you look at all the numbers offensively, what they're doing in one-run games, what are they doing with runners in scoring position? The bullpen was a hot mess for a long while. It feels like they've kind of maybe worked on it just a little bit. But, you know, again, they're relying on arms that are either reclamation projects or young arms. So there's a lot still that we have to see there. And then on this offensive side, why is Mastroboni batting second and having four at-bats and in the ninth inning, guys on a full base of guys and, you know, no contact? Like, this is the thing about this roster right now, is the roster, when it's good and it's good players are carrying their side of the load and the bottom of the lineup is contributing, it's a good lineup. It's a lineup that can win the NL Central, a bad NL Central. Then what you're seeing right now is kind of a thing. The Hosmers throughout the season, the Mastrobonis throughout the season. You're seeing what happens when Patrick Wisdom isn't knocking it into the basket. There is something about Christopher Morel not playing. You know, Seiya Suzuki not having huge offensive numbers. Dansby Swanson, who I thought was the right move to make this free agency season, honestly, is more of a defensive-minded shortstop that makes good contact and is going to be an all-pro. But he's not a thumper. And if you really look at this team right now, with Matt Mervis not, you know, again, this is a rookie, but Matt Mervis not being that guy that you will hope will carry a lot of the offensive load, not having Cody Bellinger, Seiya Suzuki kind of coming into form, but he's not somebody that's going to hit 30, 40 home runs. And your infield isn't built like that. Some infields in Major League Baseball are built with studs that are both great defensively, but also could launch the ball 440 feet. This Cubs team doesn't have that. And that's okay, because you're supposed to get that in different positions. They've been injured, and some of the guys haven't been performing in that way. But that's what you're looking at this Cubs team. And we look at this road trip coming out. Like, yeah, you go 5-5, you sneak a win here and there, you're right back in there. And I promise you, Milwaukee, St. Louis, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, they all may not run away with it, but none of them are going to go away either. So you have to kind of stick around. And it gets to the point now with the Cubs, what are you going to do if you have a 500 June, head into July? You know, and I, better than anybody, better than all other Cub fans, we all know this. Cody Bellinger is not getting a $100+ million contract from this team. He is going to be traded. So the question is that why they're being so precautious with him? Is that why they're taking their time with him? They want him to have a good second half of June into July, into the trade deadline, for a team that needs a bopper come playoff push. Are they going to be in on one of these big pitchers? Are they going to be in on one of these? This team, don't forget, they have high hopes on Brendan Davis and Pete Crow Armstrong and some of these. So they believe that help is coming around the way, but you don't hear anything about Pete Crow Armstrong being a power hitting center fielder. You just re-signed Ian Happ, who, as good as he has, as much as he's developed, again, is only going to do so much with the bat. This team does have flaws. It has grown. It has looked like it has some potential. But this isn't a world-beating team. This isn't a team that you look and you're like, that is a dangerous lineup. It's a professional lineup at points, when done right. But then we got to start talking about lineup construction. We got to start talking about bullpen management. And is that on David Ross? We were the same ones saying back then, when they fired Joe Maddon, they're going to want a manager that's going to do what they want. So is this Jed Hoyer and Carter Hawkins coming down and telling Rossi, David Ross, hey, this is what we want you to do? These are all things that are on the table. They may sound at some points nitpicky or at times glaring issues, but that's what happens when you have expectations. And the Cubs had expectations this season.
Oh, you're right. I mean, Hoyer himself said that he's forced Ross to mix and match in the bullpen. And you mentioned Bellinger. I mean, he in some game, he was carrying the team to some degree. And so he's really missed. I mean, Tetchman's a rookie, and he's doing the best he can. And, I mean, where's Crow Armstrong? Is he still in South Bend? I mean, they're not really moving up the ladder very quickly. Right. So I guess he's not anywhere near ready. So you're right. I mean, I left out one of the guy that's got a 5-2 record that's going to pitch in San Diego, Smiley. So, you know, I guess the thought was they had Boxberger and Fulmer as their, you know, set up and closer guys. But, you know, based upon the pattern they've had in the last few years, you know, where they had the veterans set up and closer guys that they got rid of in July. So it's not worked out that well. And, you know, I talked to you about, available closers like Corey Corey Knebel.
That's it. We're going
Okay,
home.
I'm done with Corey Knebel. He was a great closer, but he's available now. He was with Milwaukee. He was before Hader, and that's the other thing. I mean, Hader was untouchable with Milwaukee, and we'll see him again this weekend. But the funny thing is that you see these guys, even Kimbrel's in Philadelphia. They go all over the place. But like they've never really, this year they haven't had a reliable bullpen in the back end, so that's been a problem. But when the starting pitching was so great, where they were having quality starts game after game, it didn't matter. So, like I say, this division, the winner is going to win, may not win 90, quite frankly, the way it looks. So, it's wide open. So, and the funny thing is, they're going to play Pittsburgh finally when they come back from this road trip. Have they played Pittsburgh yet? No. It's going to be middle of June, and they will not have played the Pirates yet. It's again, it's ridiculous.
It's funny you bring that up because I think the schedule has played a lot into it. The Cubs have played some tough teams. And again, it goes into the schedule. They're trying to put exposure and put these different matchups. But we even saw how Jekyll and Hyde this team is. And it goes back to what you and I have been talking about since February, since December, since Swanson was signed. Yeah, you look at the Marcus Stromans and the Dansby Swansons, and when they bring in a Cody Bellinger, and when it hits, it hits. But this team, we've all said the window was 77 to 82, which means they're a 500 team, which means they're going to play like a 500 team at points, which means they're not going to go 12 of 16, right? What like the great teams do. It does mean there's going to be times where they win 4 of 7 and then they lose 5 of 8. It's what a 500 team does. And it's what's frustrating when you have a team like that that also had expectations after a fun start in April. But I think we do have to have some perspective. It is only June. We do know what we have here. I don't think there's any Cub fan now thinking there's fool's gold. I don't think there's anybody that's going to get fooled as a Cub fan that this team is going to make a crazy run, that they're going to be the Miami Heat of Major League Baseball this season. I think for most Cub fans, as long as they look competent, they win some one-run games every once in a while, and it looks like they're taking that step forward. I think most Cub fans are going to be okay. I think Cub fans are done with 66 wins. I think Cub fans want that 79 to 84. But this team looks like it's going to be about 79 to 81. That's what this team looks like. Albeit, as long as it's entertaining, I think that's what a lot of Cub fans could just ask for.
Well, you're right, Mike. I mean, in a way, forgetting the interleague play, I think the schedule does not favor them. It's disruptive in a way. They play the 10 games and they come home for Pittsburgh and Baltimore, and they go to Pittsburgh for the first time, and then they have basically a week where they play two games, both of which are in London. So I mean,
Yeah.
honestly, it's and for that matter, that counts as the Cardinals' home game. So guess how many times the Cubs go to St. Louis this year? One. They have
That's
one
crazy.
trip to St. Louis. They're arch rival. That's crazy. But in any event, I think that doesn't do them any favors either, because there's going to be some type of jet lag, obviously, and when they play in London. So I think that all in all, if they get to the end of June, and this division is still five games front to back, I think that they're in the race, and it's only going to be the division winner, obviously, that participates in the playoffs. So it's all or nothing.
And you know what else is all or nothing? The love that we have for our amazing friends over at Sheets and Giggles. Make sure you check out their amazing inventory this summer season. Feel good in the air conditioning while you're sleeping and resting, watching the NBA Finals, watching your favorite baseball team, Netflixing and chilling, watching that dumbly named HBO Max. I'm sorry, just Max. However you enjoy your nights, do it in style. Go to Sheets and Giggles. Use the promo code TheSportsCube. Go sports from the couch for 50% off your next purchase. Check out those eucalyptus mattress sheeting and bedding. It is amazing. It feels so good on your beautiful skin. That's Sheets and Giggles. The Sports Cubicle. Sports from the couch. Also, thank you all for the support over for Lucha Dog over at Kickstarter. Check us out. Kickstarter Lucha Dog. We're about 2 weeks away from being done with the campaign. We're about 30% there. Check out the children's book. Check out the synopsis, what we're doing, what these proceeds are going to go for some of these sales. So we highly suggest you check it out. Thank you all so much for the support. And thank you all for the love. And thank you to the marvelous one, Dan Marver, for all those amazing baseball takes. For Devin Tingo and Paul Shabari, I'm Mike Mercado. Follow us all over social media. We're on Twitter at SportsCubicleTV. We're on YouTube at the Sports Cubicle, and everywhere else in the universe at Sports From The Couch.